Now, the push to vaccinate people against COVID-19 continues to slow down around the country. That comes as Republican lawmakers nationwide work to protect those who are unvaccinated. Arkansas and Montana now have laws banning private and public entities from discriminating on the basis of COVID vaccination status. That creates a protected class effectively on par with race, gender, and religion. In addition, 8 states have banned so-called vaccine passports. Wisconsin Assembly Republicans have also passed such a measure. It would still need to pass the Senate, and Democratic Governor Tony Evers has suggested he would veto the bill. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do Republicans in states around the country have the right idea here, or should we be doing whatever we can to get as many people vaccinated as possible? Should unvaccinated people be a protected class? If you're unvaccinated, have you felt discriminated against? Should businesses be able to say unvaccinated people can't shop here, or they have to be subjected to different restrictions like mask wearing than vaccinated people? What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. James Hodge is the Peter Kiewit Foundation Professor of Law at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law and Director of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at Arizona State University. His areas of expertise include public and global health law, ethics, and human rights. James, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, it's a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
From a legal standpoint, do we have a lot of precedent for these kind of vaccination restrictions and laws restricting them?
Listen, we've got hundreds or actually dozens of years of precedent for what you're seeing happening on the vaccination front right now. In other words, there's a lot of cases and a lot of litigation around vaccination policies ever leading up to COVID-19 and will continue to be throughout the remainder of the pandemic. And what those actually go on to say is that we can and will, under circumstances, require vaccination among specific persons and set specific limits on who can do what based on whether they're vaccinated or not.
A lot of the questions now, it seems like, center around, can this institution, whether that's a family restaurant or a cruise line or a university or you name it, set their own vaccination requirements for their customers and or employees or students in some cases. What does case law tell us about whether they can do that?
That's such a great point, Rob. It seems like it's very almost destination specific or entity specific in relation to what and how far we can go with vaccination policies. Part of that is because there's a little bit of truth to that. Now, listen, there are specific entities that can set vaccination mandates in the United States that will have strong legal support for doing so. Let me give an example, a hospital, in relation to what and how they may actually have to require or at least expect their employees to be vaccinated prior to be engaged fully with COVID-19 patients or any patients for that matter. Federal standards all but require that to provide a safe workplace. Now contrast that with a retail enterprise that might set a vaccine mandate, just to make sure that their employees and customers, don't potentially spread COVID-19 within that specific setting. It's a little different environment, as is a cruise ship, as is an airplane, as is a train. That's why we have different mandates and different requirements around vaccine that start to look very dissimilar. But there are different risks in each of those environments, and the vaccine policies that have been built up over time reflect those key differences.
Now, let's look at the government itself. Can the federal government or a state or local government say, you live here, you got to get vaccinated, maybe there's some waiver wiggle room there? To what extent can the government mandate vaccines?
Well, this is such an important point. Let's make a critical distinction right now. It's so important for any listener to understand. Can government forcibly require you to get vaccinated in the United States, especially with an authorized vaccine not approved? And that is, FDA's authorized these several COVID-19 vaccines. They've not been fully approved because we haven't had the time to vet them closely. Hey, the reality is legally, no, you can't be forced to take a vaccine. You're not going to be physically restrained and given a vaccine by any legitimate public health authority in the United States at the federal, state, tribal, or local levels. But that's not the same as a vaccine mandate. Compelled vaccine is forcible vaccine. Okay, we can't do that. Can we mandate you to get a vaccine? What does that mean? It means we're setting a condition on you returning to society or participating in this activity, going to the Milwaukee NBA game or otherwise. We're setting a condition on you being able to do those activities. And that condition is you're vaccinated. So you want to return to work? You want to go to the University of Wisconsin-Madison? you want to attend, you know, your school as a kid age 14 to 17, states are setting vaccine mandates and private employers doing the same because they can legally. That's very distinct from a compelled vaccine. And should you ask Rob, you know, how far can we go with that? We can go very far. U.S. Supreme Court has even affirmed that we can set vaccine mandates in the United States at the state or local level. So right now we have Supreme Court precedents allowing that to occur.
Talking to James Hodge, professor of law at Arizona State University, looking at state laws in the works or passed in some places, limiting employers' abilities or stores, say, abilities to set vaccine requirements for their patrons, their employees, their students, you name it. Join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Okay, now, James, say I'm a business owner in a state where the state government said, hey, you can't discriminate against someone based on their lack of a vaccine right now. And I think, well, I think it's necessary to protect my health, my employees' health, my customers' health. If I challenge that in court, how likely is it that I'm going to be successful?
It's a great question. These cases will arise soon. And reason for it is that, you know, we're about to see, I think, a new wave of COVID-related infections due to the Delta variant, due to a very systematic group of Americans still yet to be vaccinated, even though very eligible candidates. And what's the claim? The claim is I'm an employer trying to operate a safe workplace for myself, for my employees, for my customers. And I can't, in some ways, discriminate against persons who are unvaccinated. I can't keep those persons out. Okay, we've got state laws that say that right now. But your ability to set other requirements may be part of what we're anticipating as well. Maybe you can't keep unvaccinated people out of your business, but in some of these jurisdictions, you can require them to wear masks by requiring everybody to wear masks. You can create social distancing in your restaurant by actually creating it. It's somewhat returning back to some of those same norms we saw in the harshest parts of the pandemic. But that's what it takes to actually make your business safe for employees and customers as well. We might see some employers actually have to do it. The alternative is not good. Literally having to go back to virtual operations. That's not a good alternative. I think that's what you're going to see, litigation around what and how far we expect employers to create those environments and what they can do in eliciting statements like that to customers about expectations there. It's about to come to courthouses near you.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Michael is with us in Elroy. Michael, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm enjoying your conversation. I'm 69, my wife's 68, and I'm living in the same household with my parents who are in their 90s. So we were able to get the vaccines early, and we chose to do so. And I cannot believe with the experience that this country's had with polio and smallpox before that, that people are reluctant to go ahead with this vaccine because it just makes sense. Can you explain where this reluctance comes from and what we do to combat it, please?
Michael, thanks a lot for the call. James, we've talked about reluctance on other conversations. I don't know if you want to weigh in on that, but go for it if you do.
No, absolutely. Gosh, Michael, let's be clear. First of all, I applaud you and your parents getting full access to vaccines thanks to the federal, you know, doling out to Wisconsin and every other state those resources. It's been a phenomenal achievement to have a vaccine available within a 10-month period of time for a deadly, you know, stealthy condition like COVID-19. Why isn't the rest of the nation joining you? That's a great question. There are several highlights to that. First of all, there are legal opportunities for them not to get vaccinated. In other words, we have seen some legal reticence among political actors to actually utilize the full breadth and extent of law to actually mandate those persons to be vaccinated. Second, there's the vaccine hesitancy phenomenon that's just been horrendous over the last 20 to 30 years, and COVID-19 is, you know, sort of showing it to us nationally on a very big scale. People are hesitant to get vaccines, especially ones that are viewed as experimental, like these authorized vaccines instead of the ones fully approved by FDA. They're concerned and scared about things that are both myth and reality about the vaccines themselves. And I think a third factor is, listen, we all have seen in Wisconsin, here in Arizona, where I'm at, the politicization of COVID-19 and just how much we've seen people respond and react to various different requirements and or public health initiatives based on pure politics. I would hate to think that that's what's stopping some persons from getting vaccinated, but dare say it's a working theme across the United States.
Michael, thanks for that call. We're looking at a push by Republican state lawmakers around the country to protect people who are unvaccinated from vaccine requirements at businesses or public facilities, universities, you name it. James Hodge is with us, professor of law at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at Arizona State University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like the idea of state laws saying, hey, businesses, colleges, whatever, you can't treat unvaccinated people differently than vaccinated people? Or do you think business owners, say, should be allowed to make those distinctions? What questions do you have about how the law works on this stuff? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The conversation continues coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk on anti-discrimination bills. Republican state lawmakers around the country are pushing for unvaccinated people. Arkansas and Montana have signed into law measures that ban discrimination on the basis of COVID-19 vaccination status. Other laws are in the works in other states around the country. James Hodge stays with us, professor of law at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law and director of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at Arizona State University. You can join in with your thoughts on that idea, that kind of law, those kind of protections for people who aren't vaccinated at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers now with James in Oconomowoc. James, hi.
Hi there. I'm calling. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because a prior person had called in and questioned why people would not want to take the vaccine and thought it was outlandish that anyone would not want to. And I just wanted to give two reasons, non-political, why people are hesitant to do that. The first one is religious reasons, in the sense that people don't want to take a vaccine that is derivative from a stem cell research, which is from, you know, decades ago, whether it's a, you know, distant relationship or however they want to phrase it. The simple fact is we wouldn't have that capability if it didn't come from those specific cells. And on a religious standpoint, people won't do that. And number two is just that this vaccine is not like other vaccines. From what I've done my research on, they normally inoculate you with some kind of live, like a flu shot or a live version of that virus or dead version, but it's a part of that virus versus this one that actually changes your DNA, changes your RNA.
James, thanks for the call. Last point is inaccurate. We've heard from a lot of doctors that doesn't actually happen. But James's first point is very interesting. James, we've heard a lot of times vaccination requirements, including at schools, will sometimes allow for a religious exemption. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, good point. And what James mentioned there before about that second point is one of those myths. If that's what's keeping people from being vaccinated, that needs to change, of course, with better information you're seeing from federal and other sources to try to make sure we dispel that myth. Now, as to the first issue, neat point. You know, if religious reasons are what are keeping Americans from getting vaccinated, the question legally is, well, can they exert those legal or those religious interests as an exemption or an exception to vaccine policy? Let's be clear on this because, gosh, what a great point and very critical time to mention it, because right now, as we speak, most states would recognize some religious exemptions to a lot of different vaccines. Not every state, though. Big ones like California and New York don't any longer because of measles outbreaks there, but most states still do. And the question would be, would you be able to exert a sort of a religious exemption or exception from any vaccine mandate that would be coming down the wires? And actually, under federal and state law, in many cases, right now you would. But here's what's neat about those specific exceptions. They're not grounded in U.S. Supreme Court approval. The U.S. Supreme Court has never affirmatively said you have a First Amendment free exercise right to reject or accept vaccine mandates from a constitutional perspective. If we've done so, it's pursuant to state or federal legislative authority, and many do that, of course, as well. The Supreme Court may be poised to change that. You've seen a lot of interesting cases out of the Supreme Court recently affirming First Amendment free exercise interest. We think there may be a case before the court in the near future where the court has to actually issue a statement, and it may actually come down on the wires to say you now have a recognized First Amendment free exercise interest to religiously object to specific vaccine mandates. Now, that would get interesting very fast because I think a lot more Americans may uptake that. It would really make it difficult to implement a wider swath of vaccine mandates across the board.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Chad now in Janesville. Chad, hi. Chad, are you there?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Chad. What did you want to bring up?
Well, you're talking about certain laws creating a protected class for those who choose not to get vaccinated. To me, that's just an absurd idea that, you know, choosing not to get vaccinated is a personal choice versus all of the other protected classes. That's something you're born with, you know, race, sex, sexual orientation, and to be able to create special laws for people that could, you know, potentially endanger people's lives just on someone's personal choice just seems like a potential, you know, slippery slope of something that could lead to, you know, even more dangerous situations.
Chad, thanks a lot for the call. What do you think of that comparison, James, between not getting a vaccine as a personal choice and therefore not needing a protected category?
Yeah, I like what Chad's saying there. Listen, it does look very different. It is quite different from other protected classes that the court and others would recognize under constitutional norms. But of course, these are legislative choices. Mm-hmm. Legislatures can make those choices. I don't agree with them for good reason. They're antithetical to protecting the public's health. And we cannot protect the public's health against a stealthy condition like COVID-19 if we have too many persons accepting from vaccine-related anticipation or expectations. That's what's happening right now nationally. And without greater sort of uptake of vaccines that are already proven to be safe and efficacious, and, you know, all of the factors you would look for in a really great vaccine product like what you're seeing right now, if we don't get more persons taking it because state legislatures and others give them, you know, literally legal authority not to take it, you're only going to have preventable deaths and morbidity related to it. It's a horrendous outcome, and it's totally due to that level of protection for persons who just don't want to have to take the vaccine.
Chad, thanks a lot for calling in. We're talking to James Hodge, law professor at Arizona State University, looking at the idea of protections being passed in some state governments, mostly by Republicans, saying, hey, businesses, universities, whatever, you can't discriminate against people, ban them or make them do wear masks or things based solely on their unvaccinated status. Heard from a lot of people on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Want to share one or two of those. Catherine compared requiring vaccines in public spaces to non-smoking rules, adding that not getting vaccinated is not a personal choice when that choice affects others, children, immunosuppressed, those having cancer treatment, etc. Catherine says, we got rid of smoking in public places because it affects others. James, from a legal point of view, is that part of the conversation here, that the vaccine isn't just about protecting the vaccinated, but the people around them as well?
Yeah, it's a totally legitimate legal argument. It's a nice comparison in some ways, too. It's about doing one thing versus not doing one thing, action versus omission. But her point that she's made there is quite apt. It's not just about you. Your choice to be vaccinated has repercussions for your whole community. And when too many Americans choose against, you know, what we know to be an efficacious public health intervention, we can't protect others that don't get to make that choice. Like she was saying, there are immunosuppressed individuals and others who cannot lawfully and or medically be vaccinated. It actually would adversely impact them for sure, guaranteed. And the Supreme Court's made clear you can't require those persons to be vaccinated. It's really about placing persons in that status. If you don't get herd immunity, which is basically a nice way of saying, if you don't achieve a sufficient level of vaccination across your community, persons who cannot be vaccinated, those are the ones who really lose. They can't circulate in population because of choices made by otherwise healthy persons, simply on political, religious, or other objectionable or other grounds.
We heard from a caller who couldn't stay on the line who asks about privacy issues and mentions HIPAA, which stands for the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It includes some privacy measures in it when your health data is shared. Is this a violation of our health privacy rights if somebody, when I walk into a store, is saying, hey, Rob, are you vaccinated or not?
Such a great question, because everybody, you know, I hear a lot of that on the privacy issues. Everybody thinks it feels like one, and they think that the HIPAA privacy rule, which we're all referring to here, certainly would stop that. It doesn't remotely stop that, and it doesn't protect you under that circumstance. The HIPAA privacy rule is about what a hospital has to do to protect your privacy and some other what we call covered entities, not what a store clerk has to do or what your neighbor can't ask you or what you can't disclose on Facebook or otherwise. And that's why Americans have been told many, many times, be careful about what you put out there in social media. your privacy interests don't go too far if you put it out there. So, yeah, people can ask you about it. You just don't have to respond if you don't want to.
In just our last minute, as we mentioned, a lot of states working on this. A lot of courts are going to be involved. What is at the top of your list, James, and what you're watching for next?
What we're really watching for is just how far we can go in that balance that's at work right now, Rob, between, you know, government insisting and working hard to actually reach herd immunity through vaccination policies that have standard, approved, longstanding legal backing, as contrasted with other policymakers who are out to make sure that no American is subjected to anything that remotely feels like a vaccine mandate, including passports, you know, just requiring proof of vaccination under certain circumstances. That balance, where and how far that'll be reached, whether we're looking at minority views that come into play and become more considerable, is exactly what we're watching in court-related settings and legislatures across the country, because the health of several hundred thousand Americans is at stake.
James, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's James Hodge, professor of law and director of the Center for Public Health, Law, and Policy at Arizona State University. We talked to him today about a push by Republican state lawmakers, especially in red states, to pass bills that would give unvaccinated people similar protections to those surrounding race, gender, and religion.